Welcome and thank you for joining us for the service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is from the September 21st, 2025 service at Plymouth, the 15th Sunday after Pentecost. The sermon will be delivered by Pastor Peter Blank.
Come, people of God, lift up your prayers for all nations and all people.
For God's mercy is wider than our failures, and God's love is deeper than our sin.
In Jesus Christ, the one mediator between God and humanity, we find hope and peace.
We come seeking mercy, longing for grace, ready to be made new.
Let us worship the God who saves, who forgives, and who calls us into prayer.
We will worship the Lord our God with thankful hearts.
The hymn is number 420, God of Grace and God of Glory.
Next is the hymn, God of Grace and God of Glory. Next is the hymn, O Master, let me walk with thee.
Thank you.
Scripture reading this morning is Psalm 79, verses 1 through 9. I am reading from the New International Version. O God, the nations have invaded your inheritance. They have defiled your holy temple. They have reduced Jerusalem to rubble. They have given the dead bodies of your servants as food to the birds of the air, the flesh of your saints to the beasts of the earth. They have poured out blood like water all around Jerusalem, and there is no way to bury the dead. We are objects of reproach to our neighbors, of scorn and derision to all around us. How long, O Lord, will you be angry forever? How long will your jealousy burn like fire? Pour out your wrath on the nations that do not acknowledge you, on the kingdoms that do not call on your name. For they have devoured Jacob and destroyed his homeland. Do not hold against us the sins of our fathers. May your mercy come quickly to meet us, for we are in desperate need. Help us, O God, our Savior. For the glory of your name, deliver us and forgive your sins, our sins, for your name's sake. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Next is the hymn, Jesus, Name Above All Names.
Our New Testament reading comes from 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 through 7. I've been traveling these months through the scrolls of our New Testament, and in them this one is written from Paul to his dear son, Timothy. He's urging the church find its way through difficult times. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church in difficult times. First of all, then I urge that petitions, prayers, requests, and thanksgiving be offered to God for all people, for kings, and all others who are in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceful life with all reverence toward God, with proper conduct. This is good, and it pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to come to know the truth. For there is one God, and there is one who brings God and human beings together, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself to redeem the whole human race. That is the proof at the right time that God wants everyone to be saved. And that is why I was sent as an apostle and a teacher to the Gentiles, to proclaim the message of faith and truth. I am not lying. I am telling the truth, Paul says. This is the word of the Lord. I focus on the first phrase of Paul's writing. First of all, pray. Imagine with me, this is not St. Helens, Oregon. This is not Plymouth Church located there, but instead, the date is now March 1861, and we are a Virginia congregation. Abraham Lincoln has just become our 16th president. Seven states have already seceded from the Union, and Virginia is on the brink. You're sitting in a Virginia church, And as I stand up to read these words, listen carefully. I urge then, first of all, that all requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Imagine how those words of Paul, written so many years before, ring in the ears of a Virginia congregation in 1861. Now imagine that same congregation located there in Virginia a year later has now seceded from the Union. No longer is their president Abraham Lincoln. Instead, their president is Jefferson Davis. Same text, same command, pray. First, pray. But how differently those words land on a Virginia congregation in 1862. That's the tension in this passage. Our prayers for leaders often shift depending upon who's in power. But Paul's command during shifting times, that command does not change. Paul's instructions are clear. The people of God who are called to pray always, we pray for those in authority, for the good and the godliness for everyone. So first of all, pray. Pray for our authorities. Church is not easy. Paul wrote to Timothy to help Timothy lead the church through conflict and confusion. He begins with politics, and yes, politics do land here in the church context. He begins with politics. Pray. Make your request, your prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving for kings and all those in authority. Paul wrote this in a much earlier time. It was Roman rule who was in authority in his time. And so as we think of what's in Virginia is controversial in 1861 and 1862, or in America today, we dull the edge of Paul's command by tailoring our prayers to our political preferences. And sometimes, yes, sometimes, our only thanksgiving is that our side won. Oh, good. And other times our prayers sound like, more like the rabbi from The Fiddler on the Roof. May the Lord bless and keep the Tsar far away from us. I remember that prayer as a youngster when I first saw that film and had to laugh going, oh, that's quite a prayer. Keep the Tsar away, far, far away. Paul, however, is specific. He lists four types of prayer. So when we're thinking of, first of all, pray, he begins with requests. We are to ask God to give leaders, the leaders that we have, what they need to govern well. Things like wisdom, courage, restraint, humility, in order that all people can live peaceful, quiet, godly lives. That means praying not just for policies that fit your and my agenda, but for the welfare of store owners, for the good that comes to seniors, for the good that comes to races in our nation, Asians, African Americans, the good that could come to police officers, immigrants, everyone. Paul begins with requests. And then he moves on to a broad category called prayers. In our prayers, remember that you and I are addressing God. We're not here to lobby God. Oh God, I'm just going to storm the throne and I'm going to convince you to shift things in my direction. We're addressing God, who is over all. And for us to be in prayer is for us to recognize that we are in submission to God. And so when we're in prayer, we don't lay out a political manifesto. God may see exactly what our nation needs. And more than likely, it's very different from what you and I think, because we are thinking of local. We are thinking of personal. We are thinking of my household and not others. Remember that you are addressing God in your prayers. So requests, then prayers, intercession. Put yourself in someone else's shoes and pray accordingly. So when we are praying on behalf of others, we are interceding for them and saying, God, I really would love you to do this and that on their behalf. We've already heard a request for Linda, who's still at the hospital after her surgery, still is recovering from pain. And our prayer continues to be for her good. Put ourselves in someone else's shoes and pray accordingly. So if you were president, facing national crises, what wisdom would you need? Pray for that. If you were a teacher navigating a crowded classroom, or a single parent juggling work and childcare, or maybe you're a nurse working double shifts in order to pay the bills, maybe a retiree on a fixed income, how about a police officer's spouse who's worrying that their partner will come home safe, alive, unharmed? Maybe a small business owner, or a young adult carrying student debt. Putting yourself in someone else's shoes, praying on behalf of them as if you're seeing through their eyes. What would you pray for? Bring those appeals before God as you're praying for others. So requests, prayers, intercession. And finally, Paul covers thanksgivings. Give thanks for leaders, even the ones you dislike. That may seem impossible, thinking back to when Paul wrote this, challenging Christians to give thanks for Caesar. Remember who was in power during Paul's writing? It was Nero. Nero, who had killed his own family, is said to be fiddling when Rome burned. In that context, Paul is saying, give thanks for leaders. I didn't add that aspect of Nero's other famous thing, and that was to light Christians on fire for sport. Yet Paul says, give thanks. And if he could live up to that challenge, and he then lays that challenge before us, we can certainly find reasons to give thanks under any leader, any president, any governor, any mayor. It is only Jesus who deserves our full allegiance. Every other leader, good or bad, they come and go, they are temporary. If you and I long for Christ's kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven, let that priority shape your prayers. So Paul covers these four very key elements that are all part of praying: requests, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings. As we think of first of all pray, we pray for the good and the godliness of all. You see, praying for our leaders isn't ultimately about them. It's about everyone under their authority, that they may live peaceful and quiet lives in godliness and in holiness. God cares about the quality of this life. Things like justice and safety, daily bread. It is God who sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous alike. So our prayers need to be practical. Pray for schools that function, law courts that are fair, neighborhoods that are safe. And I'm going to pause for a moment, because you do not know the reason that I and my family moved to Oregon. It was for safety reasons, because afternoon, that means 12 o'clock, the kids could never play out front in the front yard, because we lived just a half a block down from a school where a great deal of racial violence happened regularly, and regularly in the neighborhood where we lived. There were shootings, gang violence, and so the afternoon was not a safe time to be out front in the yard. They were only allowed to play in the backyard where there was more protection. I moved to Oregon to answer my prayer for safety for my family. So pray that neighborhoods are safe. If your and my spirituality doesn't move us to care about our neighbor's welfare, it isn't the spirituality of Jesus. It is not. Well, Paul doesn't stop at peace and quiet. He adds godliness and holiness. Only the gospel brings that. God wants all sorts of people, rich and poor and black and white, native-born and immigrant, conservative and liberal, all to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's why politicizing the gospel is so dangerous. The church has survived all these years under emperors, prime ministers, communists, and dictators, and the prayer remains the same, that people would meet this Savior named Jesus, the one who is the mediator between God and humanity, the one who gave himself as a ransom for all of us. We're all in debt, all forgiven, all loved by God. Think of the disciples, that first group of Jesus' followers. Think of Matthew and Simon. Matthew, the tax collector, Simon the zealot, political enemies that because of Jesus became brothers, and it was because Jesus was greater than their political stance. That's the unity that God desires, and it begins when we pray for leaders, not as Republicans or Democrats or independents, but as citizens of a different kingdom. Citizens of heaven. You don't usually hear me preach like this. I don't often drift into politics and what we are to do regarding it. What we are to do is, first of all, pray. Pray for President Trump. Pray for Speaker Mike Johnson. Pray for Chief Justice Roberts. Pray for Governor Kotek. Not because they're on your side, but because God has put them in place and their decisions affect everyone. Amen. Pray that though their leadership might live peaceful, quiet lives, and through the gospel that people in every background might live godly and holy lives. This is the unity that God desires. And it's not through compromise, It is through Christ, one mediator, the ransom for all. It is Christ who brings us together and causes us to drop what differs and what holds us apart. So first of all, pray, and pray for that unity. We need that unity now more than ever. Amen.
Next is the hymn, Come Listen to Your Children Praying.
It is He who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Next is the hymn, Christ is made the sure foundation.
Thank you. Friends, go out with the love for God. Love yourself and love your neighbor. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you and your spirit. Alleluia, alleluia. Amen.